Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupp.
Yeah, and you know what else is in this pork bill that Trump is probably going to pocket veto? Listen to this. Funding to discourage teenagers from drinking and having sex. No kidding. Oh, and it gets even better than that. We'll get into all of that. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you with us. Second hour today of Political Coffee, where we talk about the political issues of the day and how you can use them to change your world by persuading the persuadable. Now, $40 million to the Kennedy Center. The Kennedy Center, which is a 501c3, which all these rich people fund. $40 million to them, really? Oh, and then I think it was Art maybe that answer, that made note that, yeah, one of the people who runs it is Nancy Pelosi's daughter. $40 million to the Kennedy Center. Funding to discourage teenagers from drinking and hooking up. Now, you know how they would justify that, folks? Well, you know, since the COVID thing's got everybody shut down and everybody's, they're engaging in, dangerous behavior. There's a lot of drinking and smoking and hooking up going on out there because everybody's depressed. These teenagers are depressed. Teenage suicide is going, and it is true, it is. But is it government's responsibility really to discourage teenagers from drinking and having sex? Is that really the outcome of COVID and our lockdowns? And it gets even better. I told you about the $200 million almost for federal employees who live overseas that are helping other countries deal with HIV/AIDS. Now, first of all, you wonder how many people there are, but to help them buy cars and car insurance? What? Oh, and there's more. How about a bunch of money for a feminist museum? No kidding. Here's the actual language of the bill. Quote, programming, education, exhibitions on the life, art, history, and culture of women. Now, you really think that that's going to be historically accurate? Ha, ha, ha! Silly you. That's not how it works. It'll be all about feminism. How about this? You'll love this one. Again, I am giving you examples of things that you can share with other people. And by the way, those of you who get, you share things, including myself, on Facebook or Twitter or other places. I'm on Parler now, so I just totally left Twitter. I'm done with those people. But those of you who do, and you get censored sometimes, right? What they don't do is censor you when you talk about your opinions. Unless you're saying awful, horrible things, right? So, talk about these are ridiculous pork projects. Put that out there on your Facebook page. And then if the link that you use doesn't meet community standards and they block it, just tell people how to go find it. It's not as easy, I know, and not as effective, but still. Tell them how to go find it. And then tell them to go to an alternative place, like, say, a Parler, if it's Twitter. Well, they don't block that kind of thing. Or Facebook. Go to MeWe instead of Facebook. How about this, folks? Listen to this. There's even funding for a commission tasked with educating, quote, consumers about the dangers associated with using or storing portable fuel containers for flammable liquids near an open flame, unquote. Yep. That's in the Consumer Product Safety Act. Education campaign. A commission. Doesn't say how much money is there, but really? And then Nancy Pelosi says $600 is a significant amount for working families. And, of course, you've seen the criticism against her for saying, well, you know, $1 million or $1,000 of Trump's tax relief per person is that's crumbs. But $600 is significant, especially when you're giving billions and billions and billions away to foreign countries. Did you see the $3.3 billion grant to Israel? This is on top of the money we already give them. Now, you know how huge of a supporter I am of Israel. But, folks, this is a grant. And how much more do we need to give them? Oh, and there's more, but you get the picture, folks. You get the picture. This is why Trump has to do the pocket veto. Now, I'll get to the phones in a moment. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. And if you send me an email, I will try to read it on the air. Couple of other things that are going on out there. Senator Dallas Hurd, Republican conservative from Roseburg, made the fish wrap. Why? Because he stood up and blasted. In fact, the headline is, Oregon Senator rips off mask, tears into Democratic leadership over the coronavirus protections. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. Well, and the picture of him shows him doing it. But it's what he said that matters, because words do mean things. He called it an illegitimate session. Why? Because we, the people, were shut out. You see, it's not just about his mask. He said he would have worn his mask, but you commanded it, and therefore I declare my right to protest against your false authority. And then, of course, the writer, which is the Oregonian Oregon Live politics team, whoever the heck that is, has to immediately say, Hurd represents Roseburg, the seat of Douglas County, where two major outbreaks of coronavirus have recently occurred after a person went to work despite feeling ill. Well, let's stop there for a moment, right? A little common sense. If you don't feel good, whether you have the flu, the cold, or whatever, don't go to work. See, they immediately have to go after him. Well, this, and the intonation is clear, right? This is this stupid Republican. He's doing this in spite of the fact that his own area that he represents is in heaven, had a couple of outbreaks. And it's killed 7 people. Nearly 20% of the county's total. And here he is ripping off his mask. But a little bit further, they actually get to the meat of it. And this is what people should care about. Heard argued, they wrote, that state lawmakers and Governor Kate Brown's decision to close the Capitol to the public and to require masks was an intimidation of the people and children of God. This is his kingdom, not yours or ours, he said during the morning session. The days of your unchecked assault against our freedoms and his children is over. You have oppressed the free peoples of Oregon. And then they go in to talk about how Tuesday, Oregon logged 1,200 cases and 35 new deaths, if you believe all of that. Again, isn't it interesting how the flu cases have just disappeared? Nobody's got the flu anymore because it's all COVID. Everybody who's dying is dying because of COVID. I'm telling you, folks, this is why we're a long, long way from being done with this thing. My prediction to you, by the way, is if somebody with some ability to get it done put forward another Kate Brown recall, it would be successful this time. And probably by a lot. Because you know what's going to happen in California, folks? They're going to get the signatures to recall Gavin Newsom in California. They're really close. Is the Power Buick GMC talk line. I told you this hour I would get to, will Mike Pence defend the Constitution and the Republic today? The subheadline, this is an article by J.D. Rucker in the No Q report. He has the power to do it. Does he have the courage to act? Now, I did not know that the vice president has the power to literally change the direction of the legislation, or frankly, the election, rather, right now. I'll get into that. But I don't have time to be fair with Art and Glenn, who are both on the line. I'll get to you guys on the other side of this break. I want to remind you, friends, that I use CBD because it works for my body, especially this great pain stick from ProBioScience. It's made here in Oregon, uses only Oregon-grown CBD, which is the highest quality you can get anywhere. I mean, this stuff really works for me. And in fact, tomorrow I'm picking up a whole bunch of them from ProBioScience because I'm going to give them out as gifts. Because just about everybody I know has pain in their body just from life, right? Go to their website, pro-bioscience.com. Check out all the great products, including some products for pets. Pro-bioscience.com. Use the discount code CHRIST and you get 15% off. Plus, they have a great loyalty program. If you're a repeat customer, save even more. Pro-bioscience.com. Back in a moment. I promise to go to the
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour. It's called the Pence card, not the Trump card. It's called the Pence card. And the vice president can play it today. Actually, any day moving forward for several days. According to the Constitution, I didn't know this, and I'm going to get into that, but as I promised, I'll go to the phones. We'll go back to Art. Art, good morning.
Good morning again, Jeff. Boy, lots of things to talk about. Hey, as far as the port goes, I don't know if, I don't think you mentioned this yet, but guess what? They gave themselves a raise, Jeff. Did you know that?
Why does that not surprise me?
Well, it shouldn't surprise you, most definitely. And I'm sorry I didn't get in on that last hour, but I did want to mention all this pork belly spending. Why in the heck didn't Congress work on or put in their infrastructure, Jeff? They're all complaining about the infrastructure and not one mention of it. And you know what, Jeff? That would create more jobs here in the United States and actually be good. But no, instead they're giving all this money to the other countries and the hell with us. I mean, it's just outrageous. So when people call their senators and representatives, say, no, we don't want this pork belly spending in other countries. We want you to spend our money creating jobs and improving our infrastructure, which is crumbling all around us. Now, that is a good decision of our Congress of spending our money. And last but not least, Jeff, our Vice President Pence, if he's good as his word, he will do what he has to do as a vice president. And how do I know this? Because he said it while he was campaigning for the senators in Georgia. I heard the words this morning, Jeff. He said, we will do what we have to do to ensure that all the illegal votes are thrown out and all the good votes are counted. And so he said it right on national TV that he is going to do what he has to do to continue being our vice president along with President Trump.
So I think you're probably right about that, but I don't buy this story that Trump's infuriated at Pence. I don't buy it for a bit because where it comes from, number one. But number two, that's not how Pence works. And Pence is right. He's already said these things. I mean, you're right on the money. Art, thank you. I appreciate it. Going to let you go.
God bless, Jeff.
That's twice today. That's enough for today, friend. Let's move on to Glenn. Glenn, I ask you to call back. Do you have some information for me?
Yes. They had suspended needing to raise the debt ceiling till after the election, till July 31st. But how they're doing this is, they're borrowing from the different trust funds of the government, which are, of course, they're borrowing from IOUs from those trust funds. But everybody trusts that everybody will pay their bills and pay their taxes. So it's all on trust. Anyway, so it's kind of like if you gave me $100,000, a check, I would go out and pay all my bills, and then I would take the same $100,000 and give it to Art, and he would pay all his bills, and then he would take the same $100,000 check and give it to Becky, and then she'd pay off. But guess what? The $100,000 never goes down. I trust.
Yeah,
well,
right. So
that's why.
So let me understand this. I want to make sure that I get what you're saying. You're saying that they have not raised the debt limit, but they are covering the expenses by borrowing from these trust funds.
That's correct. They have to raise. They must raise the debt ceiling 2021 in August, on the first day of August. But that's all contingent that we're collecting enough money to pay back with interest all of these debts and IOUs. Well, that's why Trump says this thing's going to, if he's gone, this thing's going to crash because It's on the good trust of the American people that don't have jobs, not paying what they used to pay in all of their prospective taxes and quarterly taxes when their businesses are closed. And this is the first breach that's even designed like this. And I think that's where Trump is getting the information.
So you're saying that when you say it's a breach, you're saying they haven't raised the debt limit?
They have not raised the debt limit. It's strictly spending on the good faith of the American people and the public that someday in the future that money will come in to cover for the debt that they're spending right now. So the money that they're in this bill that they've generated is now to be paid back by the good trust and faith of the public that somehow that money is going to come in from us to pay all this back with interest. But this is the first time the federal government is lacking huge amounts of money, not only in last year's tax collections, well, current tax year's collections, and the one coming forward when so many hundreds of thousands of people have no income to pay taxes on at the federal or the state level. So that trust is breached because the government is spending not only to us, but to other governments and other ports that are supposed to be paid back only by the trust of the people paying their bills and paying into the tax system.
Okay,
Social Security.
In 5 seconds, are they violating the Constitution?
In a sense, they're violating the Constitution, but they're doing it by the good faith and trust of the American people.
Okay. Glenn, thank you. Appreciate your contribution to that. 7:30, back in a moment. Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. This segment of the show is brought to you by Bill Sunderland from Country Financial. You know, right now, it's really a good time to be thinking about balancing or maybe changing the mix of your investment portfolio, whatever that might be. Maybe it's real estate, maybe it's stocks, bonds, all of those things combined or not. Maybe it's your business. He's a great, great resource, Bill Sunderland of Country Financial. So sit down and talk to about that. That's what they do. Good advice, and it's always smart to have somebody else, even if you think you're pretty up on things and what's going on. You know, there's a new administration coming in, and there's stories breaking about how rich people are just rushing. You know, financial advisors and people like that are really busy right now. Why? Because people are trying to figure out how to protect what they have from Joe Biden. So you know what? Even if you don't consider yourself to be rich, but you have some investment, maybe you have a rental or two, maybe you've got a 401k, maybe you've got some stock investments or whatever, you know, you might be wise to sit down and talk to Bill Sunderland. Check out his website, SunderlandAgency.com. That's Sunderland, S-U-N-D-E-R-L-A-N-D, agency.com. Or give him a call at 503-885-0789. 503-885-0789. There's a new poll out from Just the News done by Scott Rasmussen. 55% of voters in this poll believe that non-essential government should be shut down during the time that COVID business closures are in effect. Most voters think non-critical government services should face
the same restrictions as businesses deemed non-essential. Remember in the last hour I said, you know, somebody actually could put together a recall of Kate Brown, like the one that's going on down in California, which is likely to succeed. I'm telling you, it probably would pass because this tells you a lot. TheLibertyDaily.com has a story that emails obtained by the FBI detail how Hunter Biden landed Ukrainian gas gig in 2014. Then Democrat Amy Klobuchar says, we have the votes to override the Trump veto of the Porculus. I doubt it. Because you know why? He's going to pocket veto it. And you haven't given it to him yet. You can't. Because you know what the president can do? Even if you guys want to remain in session. You know what the president can do? He can wait until the very last possible moment of that 10-day time period under the Constitution, excluding Sundays. And he literally could issue a veto 5 minutes before the deadline. And you guys don't have time to come back into session. And by the way, you can't fix it anyway. And you can't override the veto because you don't have enough time. You're not going to be there. Because you're thinking, well, it's just going to become law because Trump, we called Trump's bluff. No, you didn't. You got to understand, folks, Donald Trump means what he says. You got to be willing to walk away in any negotiation. Remember from his book, Rules, the Art of the Deal. And you always ask for more than you know you're going to get. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. The Pence card. What is the Pence card? Well, I'm going to tell you. So the National File has had a piece about this. Now, we talked about the president's or the vice president's role in the Electoral College in the joint session of Congress on January 6th. Constitutional scholar Ivan Reichlin was the source of that. Now, the writer of this particular article is only referencing the National File. This is an article from the No Q Report, and it's by J.D. Rucker. The headline is, Will Mike Pence Defend the Constitution and the Republic Today? I will have this up on the show plan on Facebook. And by the way, to a very nice person who does not want to be named but listens to the show, lives in Salem, thank you for your very kind words. But your interesting point that for those who don't have Parler, who don't like Facebook or Twitter because of privacy issues, where can you find all these resources? Well, KSLM website might be a place. I have to figure out how to do that. And I'll have to talk to producer Phil about that to see if there's a way that I could do this other than Facebook, mine and KSLM's. Maybe I can put it on the KSLM website. I don't know. But anyway, we'll have to talk about that. Thank you for that. You're looking for a place to go to events, a go-to place rather, where people can find out about events. Well, maybe we also could be a place for that. I don't know. We'll see. The Pence card. From the National File article, and again, J.D. Rucker said, you know, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago with Ivan Reichlin. He admits he has been lukewarm, to the notion that Pence would literally step back and say, I'm just not going to accept all this stuff and I'm going to gavel down and we're done. We're out of here. On January 6th in the joint session of Congress. to certify the Electoral College results. But he says, until a report from the National File, and that's what we're going to get into in a moment here, and the president's second speech of the night yesterday, which made me more hopeful that this could actually happen. Here's the path described by National File. Pence, Mike Pence can play the Pence card. He can deny Electoral College certificates from states with widespread election fraud. Let me go back to that. Say that again. He can deny the Electoral College certificates from states with widespread election fraud. Now, let's stop there for a moment, because what are some of the headlines we're seeing? Rudy Giuliani was on with Steve Bannon in the War Room, said that Arizona lawmakers will likely vote today, Wednesday, to certify President Trump as the winner. Right now on Gateway Pundit, there's a live stream video of the Georgia House of Representatives holding a hearing on election fraud. The Senate of Georgia has said, we're going to meet in special session. They're calling for special session to reallocate the electors. They say there's enough evidence, the Georgia Senate Judiciary Committee, there's enough evidence to decertify the vote for Joe Biden. Folks, this is going on everywhere. And it goes, and it gets us to Mike Pence. From the National File memo, here's what it says. And let me just read this to you, because this is important. I want you to listen. Article 2, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution requires that, quote, each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislature thereof may direct the number of electors, unquote. Therefore, the papers or slates that the states attempted to submit to the President of the United States Archivist of the United States are not legal, permissible certificates of votes and list by electors as recited in Title 3, USC, Sections 9 and 11. Why? Well, because Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin violated the U.S. Constitution's Article 2, Section 1, Clause 1, 14th Amendment, Section 1, Equal Protection Clause in administering their elections, therefore rendering their slates impermissible. Now, you got to remember that this is one of the arguments that is actually before the U.S. Supreme Court right now and has been made and actually rejected by the U.S. Supreme Court. The memo continues. On December 14th, the states consummated a fraudulent and constitutionally deficient certification of their electors as required by 3 USC-7. State and federal authorities have discovered overwhelming evidence of election fraud and irregularities since November 4th, likely rising to the level of criminal election fraud and public corruption. Civil courts dismissed these claims procedurally rather than on substance. Let that sink in for a moment. Remember? Not a single real bit of evidence, substantive evidence, that has been prepared in all of these lawsuits has been heard. They're all being dismissed civilly on procedural grounds. Now, the article continues. Pence must notify the Secretary of State in each contested state that they have until January 6th to send a legal Electoral College certificate. Stop there for a moment, and I'll get back to this. This is fascinating. Didn't know this either. You probably didn't. Maybe you did. But in either case, this is the Pence card. Will he play it? Back in a moment. No, that's not poverty. Stop the car.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Ten minutes till the top of the 8 o'clock hour. One more great hour to go. Now, remember, I got it. By the way, you want to send me an email, it's jeff at 1220.am. Linda sent me one. And it says, Linda from Albany, says there was a headline from about Mitch McConnell in the last couple of days saying he was going to call Congress back on the 29th to override the possible president's veto on the defense bill. What's to keep him from attempting something like that maneuver? Also, how disgusting they sneak in a pay raise for themselves. Well, of course. I think it's entirely possible that McConnell calls them back on the 29th. Here's the problem. At least with the COVID bill and this massive porculus bill. The problem is they have not, the bill has not been enrolled. I talked about that in the first hour. It's not been enrolled. It hasn't been presented to Donald Trump. The 10-day clock doesn't even start until the bill is presented to him. Friends, they have to have this thing to him by 11:59 and 59 seconds tonight. Tonight is the 23rd, December 23rd. Remember, the Constitution lays all of this out. All the president has to do is wait until 5 minutes before, if he wanted to. He doesn't even have to do that. Unless they get this thing to him before 1 second before midnight tonight. Okay? That's when the clock starts. All he has to do is wait. If they get it to him like tomorrow, because they physically, they just can't get it done without huge errors and problems. Well, then it's over. Trump can use the pocket veto. Now, let's say that they get it to him in the next couple of hours today. Well, then technically the Congress is still in session on January 3rd, right? Now, that's when the congressional term expires. They could potentially be waiting at that time. Well, here's the deal. Trump just waits until 5 minutes before the deadline, which would still be on January 3rd, and it would still be whenever. It is highly unlikely that, number one, they can override the veto, because the hell that Republicans are going to catch from us would be astonishing. See, they will become far more scared of us than they will of anything else, including all the pork and all the kickbacks they're getting. At least some of them are getting. It's a good point. Mike Pence, let me continue with this because this is profound. Mike Pence has no option here. You see, from the memo, President of the Senate, as the Vice President, statutorily sits on the National Security Council and is privy to information no other individual in the presidential electoral process has. Not the states, not the Supreme Court, not the Congress. This specifically includes any classified evidence and assessments which emanate from Executive Order 13848, Trump's executive order from 2018, regarding foreign interference with U.S. elections. Therefore, the President of the Senate is uniquely qualified to issue judgment on impermissible electors. The memo writes, this is not an option for Pence. If he intends to follow the law from December 23rd until January 6th, he must instruct these states to remedy their electoral college certificates. From the memo, judgment,
All of these factors above inform and contribute to the vice president's analysis in deciding that he, as the representative of the federal seat of government, did not receive, quote-unquote, a constitutionally permissible slate of electors. For that reason, he is not only duty-bound to request that the state send certificates and list as required by Title III USC, Sections 9 and 11 from the electors that were appointed in this manner that the state legislatures directed as soon as possible, he also is the sole plenary power that has the authority to make this determination. All of that means that the information that Mike Pence is privy to is not information anybody else has, even Congress, when it comes to intelligence information and foreign interference. And that he is the sole person. It's not even the president of the United States, folks. He is the sole person that has the authority to determine if the electors sent by these states to the Electoral College on January 6th are not permissible. So starting today until January 6th, when this joint session of Congress convenes, Mike Pence has to notify the secretaries of states of these six states that their electors are not constitutionally legal and are not permissible. The drafters of the memo also told the National File that assuming the six contested states, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Nevada, do not remedy their Electoral College certificates by either selecting them in the legislature or holding another election, President Trump will prevail in the Electoral College. So what this tells me is there is another pathway here other than House and Senate members objecting. Now, we're hearing a lot about that. There's more and more House members saying, yeah, we're going to object from all of these six states. We don't know about the Senate yet, but we're hearing things that probably that's going to happen now, too. This is another pathway. It may not even get to that point, folks. If Mike Pence alerts the secretaries of states that their certificates are not constitutional because of the evidence that has been presented and the evidence that he has from the intelligence community of foreign interference in the election, that forces their hands. Now, this is why what's happening in all of these other states, in Georgia, in Arizona, Arizona lawmakers likely are going to vote to certify President Trump as the winner. All of this happening in these battleground states, folks, is very important because, yeah, the lawmakers can do it, but the governors have to sign on. And what choice will those governors have, those Democrat governors have in some of those states, like Nevada, like Pennsylvania, like Wisconsin, like Michigan, or even Georgia? Well, the governor there is being accused of being corrupt. What choice would they have if the vice president plays the Pence card and says, your electors are not constitutional, and I'm the only person to determine it? What happens then? January 6th may not happen at all, or at least in the ways that has been thought it would. Back in a moment, friends. One more great hour to go, plus your phone calls. And there's more that